For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Let's open in prayer this morning. We come around the Word of God, the precious Word that has been provided to us. We praise you and thank you, Lord. Thank you for this Word. This word that has power in it, and I pray that this morning we partake of that power. We understand that the Lord Jesus Christ has come and has fulfilled the word and is fulfilling it. We praise you, Lord, for that. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing that comes through what you have promised and what you have shown. And I ask, Lord, that this morning there would be seeds of the Word of God planted in people's hearts as hearts are open to the truth of your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, this morning we're looking at the Word working in us. And there is quite a lot to go through. So I'm thinking it'll probably be at least two parts, probably three parts. So today is part one. The important thing for us to understand immediately is that the Word of God is absolutely crucial for the Christian walk. And the way we view the Word of God is going to be the way our Christian walk is outworked. Let's have a look first of all at Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We'll look at verses 89 to 93 in Psalm 119. We'll have a look and see what the psalmist saw about the Word of God, what his belief was and what his statement here is about the Word of God. Psalm 119, we'll start from verse 89, and it says here, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Now that's interesting, isn't it? Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And that's great because there's no corruption in heaven. And so the psalmist here is making a statement that God's word is settled. Now, some people think, oh, well, it's settled in heaven. No corruption in heaven. But on earth, you know, there's all types of things that can come against the Word of God and cause corruption and cause it. So we can only be sure about certain parts of the Word. And of course, you know, the way people have viewed the Word of God has meant there's been this proliferation of many words rather than the one standard of the truth of God's Word. But let's continue on. And we'll see what the psalmist says right down to verse 93. It says, verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth." So now he connects the word of God with the earth. So we know from Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. So we see that the establishment of the earth came about through the word of God. And you can read right through that. You'll see what it says. "Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth." And the abiding of the earth is through God's word as well. Okay. Notice what it says in verse 91. "They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants." So we see that the creation continues according to God's ordinances. You can say laws or words which God has put into place. And the word of God must be now in the earth, because he now says in verse 92, "Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction." And also in verse 93, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. So we see then that the word is settled in heaven, but as far as the psalmist is concerned, the surety of the word of God is such that if his law, his word, had not been his delights, and if he had not remembered God's precepts, then he would have perished in his afflictions, and he wouldn't have been quickened. Now, that tells us that God's word is beyond just the normal natural books that we have on the earth today. But God's word is something that is of a powerful, creative, and establishing nature within the earth. And of course, we've seen that it's settled in heaven. So we see that our attitude towards God's word must be, it is my delights. Okay, you are delighted by it. You enjoy it. It's not hard to get you to sit through a sermon. It's not hard to get you to go to the Bible and read it. Not hard to get you to listen to a sermon on CD or on DVD. But it's a delight to learn of God's law, his word. And also you make a decision. I will, it's an act of your will, I will never forget thy precepts. For with them thou hast quickened me. There's a quickening that happens within us, and it also affects your outer man. So it affects your inner man and outer man, which we'll look at as we go through this, because we're looking at the word working in us. The word working in us. If you approach the Bible as just being a natural book or you know, just any old book, you're not going to be approaching it in the correct Christian way, the correct biblical way, because there is a connection between the heart and the mouth and the outer man and the circumstances around you. It's very clear as we go on, you'll see that. So the question comes now, is the Word of God, is God's law your delights? And have you made a decision that you won't be forgetting his precepts, you won't be forgetting God's word? So when the word of God comes to you, are you seeking to know more about it, seeking to understand it, seeking to remember it, and so on? Because that's the way you get quickened. That's the way you get full of life and strength and power. Because that's what quickening is all about. Have a look at Proverbs 30, verses 4 to 6. Proverbs 30, verses 4 to 6. So we're looking at the word working in us. We see that as we understand that the word of God, yes, is settled in heaven, but is also settled in the earth. And Proverbs 30 makes it quite clear that that's the case. Then we approach the word as, this is the standard. This is the way by which we understand everything around us and understand in our life the way we are to live our Christian walk. Proverbs 30, starting from verse 4. Who hath ascended up into heaven, or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath establish all the ends of the earth? What is his name, and what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Now these are questions. There's lots of questions people have, and some questions can't be answered, well actually many questions can't be answered unless there's a knowledge of God's word. This is very important to see. If you don't have a knowledge of God's word, you won't understand of the history of the world, the history of the earth, the history of the universe. You won't understand it properly if you don't have a knowledge of God's word. That's quite clear. If you don't have a knowledge of God's word, you won't understand the future and what's going to happen in the future. You won't understand that the spirit of error and devilish things won't be winning and will not continue on forever, you won't understand that. You'll just think everything's getting worse and worse and nothing can be done, and that's about it. No. There are questions that people have, but the questions are answered by going to the Word of God. And this is what it says in verse 5. Every word of God is pure. That tells us it's established in the earth. It's ready for us to trust. It's ready for us to grab hold of. It's ready for us to enforce, because God's word is the sword of the Spirit. It's ready for us to use, because God has placed it in the earth. The Bible says that the word of God is like a hammer. So, and many other things it talks about, like a fire and so on. Verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Notice after the word pure, there's a colon. That means that the next part leads from the fact that every word of God is pure. Now, every word of God, that tells us every word must be available, every word is pure, every word is there for you to trust. And that's why he says he is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Put their trust in him. So what is the truth is what you should be you should be saying about things. What is the truth about the matter? Well, the truth is, and if you look at what Jesus has done, the truth is that I am redeemed from the curse of the law because he has redeemed me from the curse of the law. And so on. All that type of thing. What is the truth? The truth is what should be coming out of our hearts, because what's been put into our hearts is the truth as we believe it. Now remember what Hebrews 4 talks about. It says that it did not profit them because they did not mix the hearing with faith. Okay? So, you know, there's people that can sit under some pretty good preaching, but they won't get any profit out of it because they're not mixing it with faith. They're not believing it. They're not believing there's truth. They're not thinking it as established. They think, oh, that doesn't really apply to me, and so on. But verse 5 says every word of God is pure. That tells us that it all matters. The whole Bible matters. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. That shield relates to a shield around your mind, so you're not thinking all the wrong things. It relates shield in your circumstances, a shield in your life. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. And then verse 6, obviously a word that's relevant for today's church. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar. Many adding to God's words through false doctrines, false prophecies, believing the wrong things and so on. It's all going to come to naught because it's going to be reproved by God, and people will be found a liar. So what's the safe way? The proper way is to say God's word is true, God's word is pure, it's established in the earth, it is there for me to believe, I believe it, I choose to believe it, I choose to put it in my heart, I choose to have delight about it, and I am delighted about it, and I will not remember, will not forget it, I will always remember it. Then God is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. What are you doing? You're trusting in God, in his word. So this is all very relevant because as Christians, the word of God is absolutely crucial for us to have victory in a sin-filled, cursed-filled, devil-filled, rebellious environment that we're in on the planet Earth. We are living on a fallen planet. It's not going to remain that way forever, obviously, because God is going to intervene dramatically in history, even before the return of Christ. And at the return of Christ, everything is obviously going to change as well. Have a look at John 8. John 8, we'll start from verse 21 and we'll go to verse 32 in John 8. Now, we're talking about the truth of God's word, the fact that it's established, and that we can trust it, and we can trust the Lord, because the Lord's not a liar. The Lord is true. In fact, Jesus sent the Comforter and called him the Spirit of Truth. So the Spirit of Truth doesn't back error. Okay, the Spirit of Truth is backing truth and guiding us into all truth. So remember that. John 8, start from verse 21. And this is what it says. Jesus has been talking to his enemies in this chapter. And some very interesting things he says here. Starting verse 21, "Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come." Obviously talking to people that aren't going to heaven then. Verse 22, "Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world." So it certainly tells us what our nature as Christians should be if we are now in Christ. If you've been born again, if you've received Christ as Saviour, believe the gospel, then you can say that you're of Christ and you're not of the world either. Verse 24, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." That's a big statement. That's a terrible thing for people to die in their sins. It means their sins have not been dealt with whilst they're on the earth. Okay? Verse 25, "Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning." So he's been preaching and preaching and teaching, and these people haven't been hearing or listening. It just hasn't gone in. "I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him." Notice what it says. "They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." Now this is what it says in verse 30. Now this is a crucial thing. "As he spake these words, many believed on him." Now this is good. Many believed on him. And then he said something that's very significant, and we understand this as the connection to truth. Verse 31, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him." So he's talking to what? Believers, isn't he? "To those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now the knowing of the truth is an inner man thing. It's an inner man thing. Your spirit and soul, you know the truth. And it's that knowing of the truth. Remember what the psalmist said, I will not forget thy precepts. You know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth shall make you free. You start to speak it, you start to act on it, you believe it, things will start to change that you thought, you may have thought in the past, oh, they'll never change. But as you approach the Word of God in the right way, as he said there, "Continue in my word, then ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So we see this power in the Word of God. Power in the Word of God. And it bears a repetition to go across to John 17 verse 17, so we'll quickly go across to there. So we know exactly what the truth is that Jesus is talking about here. And it says in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. This is the word that establishes people. This is the word that we can believe. And as we saw, every word is pure. And we can trust that. And God will be a shield for us. Sanctify them through thy truth. A sanctification is a separation. It's a holiness process by which we go through. It's not through following a set of man's rules. It's through the word of God. That's what it's saying here. Sanctify them through thy truth. How is that possible? As we believe the word, remember, that will cause the word to prosper or profit us. As we believe it, take it into our heart, it will start to work within us, and then our words will start to match up with that word, and our actions will match up with that word, and we will start to enforce the word of God around us as we do that. So sanctify them through thy truth. You don't start, as soon as you're born again, you don't start suddenly, oh, I know the Bible, I know the word. No, you're a baby at the beginning. But as you feed on the word of God in belief, then you grow. Then you grow. And so you should be further along the track the older you are as a Christian. Sadly, that's not always the case. But you should be further along the track. You should be growing in the Lord. The Bible talks about growing many times, and there should be fruit coming out of our lives. Have a look at John 6, and we'll start from verse 60 and go to verse 64 of John 6. Starting from verse 60. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before?" Remember that question we had back in Proverbs 30? It talks about who hath descended and who hath ascended. Well, Jesus is pointing to himself as the answer to that question, himself. What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? Verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. Where's the Spirit? Little s located. In a man, isn't it? In your heart. Okay? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. So if you're trusting only in the flesh, trusting only in the outer, external things, that's not going to profit at all. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Okay? So Jesus is warning against getting offence into you. In fact, we should be bowing the knee to the Lord and saying, "You are right. You are right. Your truth is what I should be conforming to." And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He matches up completely with the Word of God. He lived a life completely according to God's Word. So we see he tells us the nature of the Word of God. He says, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." They're not ordinary words, are they? They're not ordinary words at all. They're not like an encyclopedia on a shelf. that men have written. No, God's words can go deep into our heart. God's words can do a work in us as we believe that. God's words affect our spirit because they are of the same nature in terms of spiritual food. So God's words are spirit and they are life. Life. And that life, as we believe, can produce life in our outer man as well. We saw that in Psalm 119. It said that the words of God, the precepts of God, quicken him. Quicken him. Okay, so if we understand what the words of God, their nature, are, then we know very clearly that we can't neglect them as Christians. We can't say, oh, well, I'll leave the Bible to be seated or to be put over there and not turn to it or not look at it. No, it should be your delights. It should be like spiritual food to you. And it should be something that you take up and study and apply yourself to and so on. And there's many ways you can do that, of course. So when we come to the Word of God, and I said right at the beginning that the way people, and particularly Christians, approach the Word of God is the way their Christian walk is going to be outworked. If they approach the Word of God in the wrong way, then their Christian walk is going to be compromised. And we see a lot of that today in the churches because there's a lot of compromise of the Word of God itself. So let's have a look at Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, it says a lot about this area. And we won't be able to go much past Proverbs 16 today, but in part 2, which I'll be doing next week, we'll talk a lot more about it, just how God's word works and how we are to approach our Christian walk. So let's look at Proverbs 16. We'll look at verse 1 first of all. Proverbs 16 verse 1. And we see something very interesting. When we see the word heart, we know that it's not talking about the blood pump. It's talking about the inner man, which is made up of the spirit and soul. So we see here, it says in Proverbs 16 verse 1, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. So the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. What we see is that within our heart there has to be preparation. The ground has to be prepared because we know in the parable of the sower, for example, in Mark 4, that the seed is the word of God and the heart is the ground by which the word comes into. So there has to be preparations in people's hearts. If people are not willing to receive the chastening of the Lord, for example, then they're not willing to change according to what God wants. I'm reminded of the Lord to go to something about chastening. So just keep your finger in Proverbs 16 and go quickly across to Revelation, the book of Revelation. And we'll just look at Revelation 3. Verse 19, and this is Jesus speaking here. This is Jesus speaking. And then we'll go back to Proverbs 16. And Jesus is speaking here in Revelation 3, verse 19. And he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So that covers all of us. Okay, all of us at some time in our Christian walk will need rebuking and chastening. Think about raising a child. You can't just let the child do whatever it likes. The child must be at times rebuked and chastened to get them in line of the right thinking and the right actions. I think anyone that has anything to do with children will understand that. When we start out in the Christian walk, we don't start out knowing everything or doing all the right things, but as we listen to the Lord, He will rebuke us and chasten us as we are open to that. Okay? And of course, that's connected with zealousness. So go back to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, read verse 1 again. So we see part of the preparations of the heart in man. It says here, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Part of that preparation is that there is to be a rebuking and a chastening to get the rubbish, to get the wrong things, the wrong ideas, wrong doctrines and whatever out. Okay, so that you are correct. And in fact, if you go to, we won't turn to it, but in 2 Timothy 3:16, it talks about that the scripture is profitable for rebuke and so on. So we understand that it's through the Word of God there is this preparation that happens in our heart. Now, right from the beginning, I said the way people approach the Word is the way their Christian life is going to be outworked. If they are resistant to the things of God, resistant to the Word of God, then that preparation is not going to be able to be done. Now, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. We know there's a connection between the heart and the mouth. There's a connection between the heart and the mouth. The mouth doesn't just speak out of your mouth out of nothing, because it's connected to the heart, where you're thinking. The soul is all about your mind, will and emotions. Your spirit has spiritual understanding in it. And so when you're speaking, you want to be speaking out of something that's right. Another great aspect of the preparations of the heart, which affects tremendously what we say, in other words, the answer of the tongue, is the renewing of our mind. If we are not open to having our mind renewed, then we're not going to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that's what the Bible is talking about there. If we have the renewing of our mind constantly happening through the Word of God, then you're going to have the situation coming up where what's in your heart matches with what the Lord wants, and that's what's going to come out of your mouth. And this is the way I've found, and it affects all aspects of our life, that if we have the heart prepared properly, the ground prepared properly, then when the Word of God comes, it comes in like that seed that I talked about, and that seed will spring up. But what happens if there's stony things in there, rocks and so on in there, that stony ground? Well, what happens if there's hardness of the ground or there's weeds there? What happens? Well, those things didn't get into the person's heart by chance, random processes. It got in by various things happening in that person's life. So remember, the rebuking and chastening of the Lord, opening our hearts up to believing the Lord of God, the Word of God and what He has to say, to believing Him. All of this is going to help in getting our heart prepared so that our tongue is able to answer properly. I go across in Proverbs 16, now start from verse 21. Proverbs 16, verse 21. And the scripture talks a lot about the wise in heart. Okay, the wise in heart, or the heart of the wise. And that tells us that if you have proper godly wisdom in there, it's going to affect the things within you, in your life, and around you. Let's have a look at starting from verse 21. The wise in heart shall be prudent and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. So we see here a connection between the wise in heart and the sweetness of the lips. The wise in heart and the sweetness of the lips. So there is that, once again, that connection between the mouth, the tongue, lips, and the heart. For the wise in heart shall be called prudent. What's a prudent person all about? Well, they make the right decisions. They make the right discernment about things. And they say, yes, that's the way to go. So they don't do things that are out of line of the will of God. They say, this is the way that I should walk, and this is the way that I should go, because the Lord has said it and taught me. Verse 22, understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. So where is understanding? Understanding is in the heart, isn't it? Understanding is in the inner man. It's and as it says there, it's a wellspring of life. This tells us that from in the heart of man, the word working in us will produce a wellspring of life. There should be a flourishing coming into our life personally and collectively, and that's going to affect all around us as well. But notice it says understanding, and Colossians 1 talks about spiritual understanding. So it's not just talking about a head knowledge, oh yes, I understand, the Bible says this, and you can sprout off a few facts. No, it's understanding the Word of God, first of all, what its nature is, spirit and life, okay, and truth, and bringing yourself in line with it, so that spiritual understanding comes into you. And when you're doing things according to spiritual understanding, it's a wellspring of life unto him that hath it. A wellspring of life unto him that hath it. Now that's the opposite. But the instruction of fools is folly. A lot of people listening to the instruction of fools. A lot of people who are listening to all types of wrong things about the history of the universe, about the nature of man, and so on. That's folly. That does not lead to right decisions, does not lead to right thinking or right things of goodness in people's lives. It only leads to destruction. Verse 23, and we'll read from verse 23 and 24, and we're going to close with these verses. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth. This is a crucial thing. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth. Now, if things are coming out of your mouth that are varying or at variation to the Word of God, there is something wrong. It's as simple as that in the Scripture. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth. Now notice it says heart of the wise. The wise are people that agree with the Lord. The wise are the people who believe the Lord. The wise are people who, when they hear the word, it's profiting them because they are mixing it with faith. There's not something in them resisting and saying, oh, the pastor's saying a load of rubbish, I don't want to hear that, or that preacher is not right. I think, you know, what we have to understand is that the Holy Ghost is present when he is yielded to as the Spirit of truth. He will guide you into all truth. Praise the Lord. So the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth. Well, if that heart, the heart of the wise, is teaching your mouth, what does it mean? It means your mouth is going to know what to say. You know that what's going to come out of your mouth will be wise things, not foolish things, not contradictory things, not things that come against the truth. But notice what it says, and it says here, and addeth learning to his lips. So there'll be learning. It'll come across as knowledgeable. And we'll finish with verse 24. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. So there is no more pleasant words than the word of God. Jesus said, "My words are spirit and life." There's no more pleasant words than the word of God. And this is precisely what it's talking about, because it's been talking about the heart of the wise and spiritual understanding and so on, and preparation of the heart is from the Lord. Pleasant words are as in honeycomb, sweet to the soul. This is where you get soul prosperity. This is where you get mind renewal and transforming by the renewal of your mind. Pleasant words are sweet to the soul. You want to get those pleasant words working in your soul, working in you, working in your soul. And this is crucial, health to the bones. That's telling us that the Word of God, if it's sweet to your soul, if it's working, you have soul prosperity, it's going to affect your physical man, your outer man. It's going to affect your outer man. And we know that from 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So it's talking about soul prosperity. So this is where we have to understand the nature of God's word, and that it is absolutely crucial to be working within us, and it will start to affect, it'll affect our thinking, it'll affect our outer man, it'll affect our circumstances, but we must approach it in the right way. And we'll be continuing this next week, part two, and going through some more things. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your precious word. We thank you, Lord, for the word you've given today. And Father, we ask that it not just be something that we have thought, oh yes, that sounds good, and not put it into action. But Lord, impress upon us all that we are to be people that take your word as truth and act according to that, and be consistently putting it into our hearts. I pray for every person here today that there be a sincerity of heart, a continuing in the word to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, disciplined ones. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.